Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
You may have heard of the work of Dr. Catherine Hamlin, the Australian doctor who, along with her husband, founded the Addis Ababa Fistula Hospital in Ethiopia. The story was made famous by a book called The Hospital by the River. Well, the work continues to spread right across Ethiopia, helping so many women affected by the fistula condition to be healed and to be restored back into community. Annette Bennett is the founder and dean of the Hamlin Midwifery College, which is attached to the hospital. It's going to be playing a very significant role in restoring these women back into Ethiopian society. Annette, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Sheridan.
There'll be folks that are listening to us that still aren't quite sure what the whole fistula condition is. So you need to kind of just unpack that a little bit, how it actually affects Ethiopian women in particular.
Well, obstetric fistula is a condition that we would have had in our own communities in the past, but has been eradicated, so well over 100 years ago. It's a condition where, in most cases, where the baby's head is actually larger than can fit through the mother's pelvis. Now, that's usually a problem to do with the mother's pelvis, not the baby's head. A bony part of the pelvis is too narrow, called the pelvic brim, and when the baby, even in a really good position, tries to negotiate in normal childbirth through that pelvis, the baby's head becomes stuck. And soft tissue that's in that area becomes caught, and that tissue dies, leaving a hole. So it's an unnatural hole from the inside of the body to the outside world. Now, that hole will often occur on the wall of the bladder and the female genital tract, leaving that the woman has loss of control of urine, and in some times also her bowel contents. So it's a devastating trauma to have. And you can imagine that once that happens and she's incontinent, this young woman who lives out in the countryside, 85% of Ethiopians live in a very simple rural lifestyle, well away from roads and main centres. And also water is very scarce, so she can't keep herself clean. Usually it will, in most cases, lead to the death of the baby during that labour. Mm. So she's not only lost her baby, if it was her first baby, then she's more than likely that her husband will also leave her and send her home to her family.
Why is that?
Well, she hasn't produced a child for him. Okay. And because of this condition of constantly, you know, having urine running from her, then it's unlikely she's going to produce one for him. Mm. So he will send her home.
She's lost her health, she's lost her child, she's lost her
husband. She's lost her marriage. She goes home, and the home is usually a mud hut where the whole family sleep. So you can imagine that a woman who has urine leaking or other bodily fluids constantly on her clothing, and she can't access water very easily, then she's actually quite smelly and dirty. And sadly, she will then be pushed out of the family home because everyone sleeps in one round hut. Mm. So these women will often be on a little shanty sort of beside the house or something like that. She may have also damaged the nerves of her legs, and so she has some level of paralysis. So she isn't able to work and walk to collect water or collect wood, so she's not able to contribute to the family. So
so she's really ostracised, isn't she? She's put out in this little hut.
She's lost everyone around her, and she can't can't contribute, so then she's probably not going to get as much to eat. She would be, as she's considered unclean, she can't go to church. She really is very cut off.
So 50 years ago, motivated by her Christian faith, Catherine Hamlin and her husband go over to Ethiopia.
That's correct.
And start this fistula hospital. And so now your husband, Mark, is the CEO of the hospital.
That's right.
And then you have become the founder and then dean of this midwifery college. Now, obviously, we could spend hours talking about both of those ones, but this new college, obviously, you're very excited about. You've had your first 12 students be enrolled.
That's right. We've now into our second group and about to start our third. It's a 3-year bachelor in midwifery, so this is direct entry.
It's a degree-level course.
Yeah. It is a degree-level course and taking girls straight from year 12. Part of the reason that we didn't choose to train existing nurses as midwives was that we have our vision is to put midwives out in the countryside where 85% of the population are. But all the medical care is concentrated in the centres. So we actually are going out to the countryside, going to a preparatory school, meeting with grade 12 girls training them and then taking them back to that area to work. Now, if we'd gone to a local health centre in the countryside and met with a nurse, she would not necessarily have come from that area. And she's already doing her service for the government in the countryside. And as fast as she can, she wants to get back to the city.
Okay.
So so we needed to find girls who are actually from the countryside. They speak that language. And we're taking girls from all different regions around Ethiopia. The women in her community know her. She's their daughter and their relative, and they're waiting for her to come back and work with them.
Annette Bennett is with us on Open House. She's the founder and dean of the Hamlin Midwifery College. It's attached to the well-known Catherine Hamlin Fistula Hospital back in Ethiopia. What can a midwife do when a woman is in this situation? I mean, from what you were describing before, it almost sounds like because of the lack of facilities, because of the fact that it could well even be the lack of nutrition that the woman is in this situation in the first place, what can a midwife actually do?
Yes, well, that's a very good question. But there is a lot of studies showing that when you do you really cover a country with good midwifery care, that you can actually dramatically decrease maternal death and maternal mortality. And in this case, we're going from almost nothing to a highly skilled health professional practicing alongside the women. So it starts, it's a broad type of care. So our midwives will be involved in education in schools, trying to encourage families to leave their girls in education longer and putting off having a child in the, you know, to a later age. Because some women are having them very young. Also talking about nutrition and educating families. Then you've got them giving good antenatal care. So around 20% of women in Ethiopia have any visit at all while they are pregnant. So if we can have a midwife that's there giving good antenatal care about how, you know, the right sort of diet that they should be eating throughout their pregnancy, and also identifying women that are more likely to have complications, and then referring them to a waiting home next to the major hospital. And then when there are complications, to have a trusting relationship between the traditional birth attendant and the midwife, so that they will bring that woman to the midwife, and our midwives will have access to an ambulance, to a mobile phone. But our midwives will be skilled. You were asking about skills, I guess. They will be skilled to do what's called a vacuum extraction. So when the baby is they still feel that it can come out, but it's just having difficulty coming. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to suture. They'll be able to deliver difficult deliveries such as twins and breech deliveries. So they will have, in fact, they'll be performing to a higher level than a lot of our midwives in Australia need to, because we have, you know, we have other health professionals as well.
Yes. Any further need for Australians to help out in any of this?
Well, I think the most wonderful contribution from Australia is the financial support that the hospital receives, the prayer support. I think it is so wonderful that this is really a hospital and a work that is held up by prayer all around the world, but very much so in Australia. We do tend to sometimes need some skills to come across. Mm-hmm. You need to be very sensitive about not having too many foreigners. There are many Ethiopians who have skills that just need to have the right opportunity,
yes,
and we need to develop them. If we have a specific need, then, and that person meets that need and has the right skill, then we do have people come from time to time. Many of what would be considered menial tasks, if you like, cleaning other patients, cleaning the floors, preparing food, lots of different tasks that happen around the hospital are actually done by women who have suffered from obstetric fistula and either been cured or from the very small percent who can't be cured. And then these women who would never have had that opportunity in the past are trained and given a job. That's what it's all about. It's about, you know, transforming their life and restoring dignity.
And they can then get back and actually help other women with the same kind of... Give
me
a story
right.
then. Give me a story of a woman that you know who's actually gone through the whole process. They've been healed and restored and now actually serve again.
Well, we have, there are many. The whole hospital is full of women from that category. We have one woman who, Mamit, who suffered from obstetric fistula when she was around 14 years of age. Before the hospital was built, it was when the Hamlins were working in a government hospital to begin with. And she was actually from that small percentage who were so severely traumatized, she wasn't able to be 100% cured. She stayed with the Hamlins in this hospital and was given, you know, jobs to do, and then went on to learn skills in basic nursing and became a nurse aide. And as time went on, and of course Ethiopia's seen so much turmoil, and it lost a lot of staff through the communist takeover in the operating theatres as well. So this nurse then went on to work in the operating theatres, and eventually Dr. Hamlin, Reg Hamlin that was teaching her how to suture, and she became a very proficient, and still is, a fistula surgeon. So it has been documented, and she's actually been recognised by the Royal College of Surgeons.
Wow.
She's a wonderful, humble, godly lady, and she's a fistula surgeon.
Wow.
Has done
beautiful
well
story.
Over a thousand operations.
I want to touch on that spiritual side just before we wrap up, because like you're saying before, this is a hospital that is actually held up by prayer, and everybody who's been involved, you know, particularly the Hamlins, have been people of faith. How is that brought through? I mean, how are these women served spiritually and nurtured spiritually?
Again, it is such a privilege to be there and see this whole healing and transforming work that's happening. And in fact, our house is opposite the front gate, so we're seeing these women arrive in that very traumatized state, and they come into a hospital where there are beautiful gardens, because Dr. Hamlin is a big gardener, and they're showered, they're given new clothes, they're given a blanket, they're given a bed, and they're allowed to lie in the bed even if they are leaking urine, because we're just washing and cleaning. So all of that is part of their healing. But we also have a full-time chaplain who is from an Orthodox background, but he also has evangelical training, so he tends to bridge some of the different divides that are there in Ethiopia. And he's a wonderful man, and he'll spend time praying with the women, reading the Bible, and that is so important to their healing as well. And as I said, these women have been ostracized from church, and that's such a big part of their life. Some of them, up to a decade or more, haven't been part of that. So they come back into a place where they're not cut off from that, and that they're hearing again about the love that, or maybe for the first time, that God has for them. We have staff who will
there's somebody who hasn't rejected them.
That's right, that hasn't rejected them after all those rejections. We also have other staff who do spend time praying and talking with the women and counselling them. Walkmans with tapes, so that's quite a big leap for these women to have a Walkman on, but they can listen to Bible stories. Of course, all of these women are illiterate. It's, you know, they need to hear God's word. So they can listen to Bible stories in 25 languages. Yeah.
So important to be treating the whole person.
Exactly.
Especially
That's
somebody
right.
who's gone through such trauma in the past. Well, a quick Google search of Hamlin Fistula Australia will quickly locate your website for people to find out more and
That's
support
right.
in whatever way they can. All the best with this new midwifery college.
Thank you.
Sounds incredibly strategic for these women.
Thank you. Thank
thanks
you very
for
much,
Sheridan. Annette Bennett, Dean and founder of the Hamlin Midwifery College in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.